Good afternoon. I wish everybody a easy fast tomorrow. Tzom Kal, meaningful and a powerful fast. We're not really going to speak about Tanit Esther, although that would be something to obviously think about over the next few days. I want to look at a few concepts from Rav Kook. Rav Kook has a few different writings in the teachings of Purim. There are sheets. If there's extras over there, can we get them to the different parts of the room? Thanks so much. So there's something very interesting and unique about Purim in terms of the way that it's celebrated. Most holidays on the Jewish calendar, pretty much all holidays in the Jewish calendar, in fact, every single holiday on the Jewish calendar is celebrated on the same day on the Jewish calendar by every Jewish person, no matter where you live on the planet. Rosh Hashanah is always on the first day of Tishrei. Everybody in the world celebrates Rosh Hashanah on the first day of Tishrei. Sukkot is celebrated by every single Jew all over the world on the 15th of Tishrei. So on and so forth. Pick any holiday in the Jewish calendar. Every Jew in the world is celebrating it on the exact same day. Yes, if you live outside of Israel, you might have an extra Yom Tov, Sheni. That's true. But the holiday itself is always celebrated on the exact same day wherever you live in the world. But when it comes to Purim, we have a very strange thing that goes on. What happens on Purim? On Purim, the day is celebrated, the Yom Tov of Purim, the Chag of Purim is celebrated based on where you live. Depending on where you live, you're going to celebrate Purim on a different day. So of all the Jewish holidays, it's such a strange concept. Usually, we think of Chag and Yom Tov as a day that we celebrate together as the entire Jewish people, no matter where you are in the world. We're all going to shul, we're all sitting in a sukkah, we're all sitting at the Seder, all on the same night, or the same afternoon, or the same evening, or the same morning, no matter where you are in the world. But when it comes to Purim, we have this interesting change in the way that Jewish people celebrate this around the world. And the question I want to look at is why? Why is that so? Why should that be that if you live in Yerushalayim, for example, not just the old city, but anywhere in Yerushalayim, you're going to be celebrating Purim a day after everybody else celebrates Purim in the rest of the country, in the rest of the world. We're going to be celebrating Purim here on Wednesday night, Thursday. And if you're in Yerushalayim, you're celebrating Purim on Friday. On Thursday night, you're going to read the Megillah. And on Friday, you're going to celebrate Purim with Mishloach Manot, Matanah Levyonim, and Seuda. It's a strange thing. Why should it be? Why did the rabbis make it so? I understand. We know that Shushan, there was an extra day, so on and so forth. We all know the reason why we're celebrating. But why did they make it that way? That the actual celebration of the Chag is going to be different for different Jewish communities. It's not something we find by any other Chag. It's something that is unique to Purim. Go ahead.
It's not only Yerushalayim, it's any belong to me, so it's also Tzfat.
Correct. So I want to mention, thank you for pointing that out, any walled city, but not just any walled city, it has to be a walled city that had a wall at the time that Yehoshua, the student of Moshe Rabbeinu, when he entered the land of Israel to do Kibush Haaretz, to conquer Eretz Yisrael, any city that had a wall at that time, anywhere, was a city that would take on the practice of celebrating Purim one day later. So there are a number of other places in Israel, sorry that I didn't mention it, a number of other places in Israel. Even Tel Aviv, according to some, may have had, not necessarily the modern day city of Tel Aviv, but Yafo, the more ancient city, may have had a wall around it at one time or another in history. So some people actually read the Megillah in certain cities, maybe without a bracha, but they read the Megillah twice. They're going to read the Megillah on, you know, if you're not in Yerushalayim in any of the cities, you're going to read it on Thursday, and you're going to read it again on Friday. That's very odd. The Jewish people are supposed to do everything together as one nation. And here we have celebrating this in different kinds of ways. So I want to look at an interesting approach that Rav Kook gives to this answer. That's on the page that you have on the front. It says at the top of the page, "B'tam hachiluk bein prazim lemukafim." The word that the Gemara, that the Chazal use for the cities that do not have walls are prazim, open cities. As opposed to mukafim, are cities that are enclosed by a wall. Like the old city of Jerusalem, which you go visit today, has a wall surrounding it, and by extension, any location in Jerusalem that's connected to Ira Atika, the old city, will also fall into this category of keeping Purim one day later, like the Jews of Shushan did. Now, before we look at it, I just want to raise two interesting concepts that I saw. There is a debate about a city that's very close to Jerusalem. For those who ever have traveled to Israel, some of you will be going to Israel soon, and you go on your way up to Yerushalayim, you're going to hit a city just before you get to what they call Jerusalem proper, Knisa La'ir, Har Nof, and then you start hitting the other places. As you get in, there's a city called Ramot. Ramot is actually a very large city today. Somebody lives in Ramot here? Okay. So we have a representative here who can tell us what do the Jews in Ramot do on Purim? Because Ramot is not exactly connected to Yerushalayim. It's a little bit on the outskirts of Yerushalayim. And there's some space of land that's empty between Ramot and Yerushalayim. So there's a bit of a debate. What are the Jews in Ramot doing? Are they celebrating Purim on the 14th? Or are they celebrating Purim on the 15th? What's the answer?
What are you doing on the 15th? Ramot is really, really big neighborhood, and it's divided for Ramot Aleph, Ramot Bet, Ramot Gimet. So we live in Ramot Aleph, so we're doing the 15th, so it's like closer to the city.
Closer to Yerushalayim.
But people who live like in Ramot Esfes, like it's farther, so they do the 14th. But just the sporadic people, because the rabbi knows.
Okay, very good. So there are differences of opinion of what actually goes on. But there is a consensus, which is as follows, and I want you to appreciate what this could mean for the future of Am Yisrael. It's a beautiful idea. Once the building continues, Bezrat Hashem will continue to build and build up Medinat and Eretz Yisrael, and the gap of that empty space between the cities that are further away from Yerushalayim keeps closing in, and all of a sudden we have people living from the old city all the way up to, like the Gemara says, all the way up to Damascus, like the top border, Damascus, which isn't part of the borders of Israel today, but biblically that is where Israel goes to. So can you imagine? We will follow, Bezrat Hashem will all be in Israel, we will follow the law of Yerushalayim. Wherever you are, as long as your city is connected in proximity and there's no space of empty land between where you live and Jerusalem, you will keep Purim on the next day. It's a fascinating idea. So this is what some of the poskim said. As Ramot, the city, which is a little bit in the case of question, what you do there, gets closer and closer to Yerushalayim, yeah, it's going to basically be, you know, every year, they're building and building and expanding the city. The question is why? And I want to just start with one more question, which is, why do we start this, the walled cities are keeping Purim on a different day from the days of Yehoshua? That's a strange idea. What is so special about Yehoshua bin Nun as opposed to Moshe Rabbeinu? Let's start it from Moshe Rabbeinu. Was it? Moshe didn't go into the land. Good. That's going to be, Rav Kook's going to touch on this point in a minute. There's something else that I wanted to mention. So good. Thank you for that answer. We're going to come back to that. There's another point that's made that I saw, that Yehoshua bin Nun was the person who fought Amalek. Remember, we read Parshat Zachor just this past Shabbat. And there's a battle. Amalek fights the Jewish people. And the first person to actually take the initiative and go and do something about it was Yehoshua bin Nun. So Yehoshua bin Nun is rewarded in the story of Purim and how we celebrate Purim that the cities that are keeping Purim with walls are going to be the cities from the days of Yehoshua bin Nun. So let's look together, let's learn a little bit inside Divrei Rav Kook. Says Rav Kook, Betam chilukei mekomotim, in the first paragraph here, Bein krachim ukafim la'erot kfarim. What's the reason for this difference of keeping Purim on one day in the open cities and a different day in the walled cities? Nireli seems to me, al pi divrei Rambam, he brings from the Rambam, Hilchot Mamrim, Perek Bet Hilchot Mamrim, Shemiklal Bal Tosifu. This is very interesting. We know that there are holidays that we keep in the Jewish calendar that are written in the Torah, and there are holidays that we keep in the Jewish calendar that are not written in the Torah. What are the holidays that are not written in the Torah that we keep? Two holidays? Chanukah and Purim. How were the rabbis allowed to create a new holiday that was not written in the Torah? We have a Torah prohibition called Bal Tosif. Right now I'm wearing tzitzit, and I have four strings on my tzitzit. Four strings, two in the front and two in the back. Let's say I said, I want to make a new style. I want to make a new business. I think it would sell well. I'm going to add a fifth string onto my tzitzit, and I'll start selling it across the city and across the world. People will probably be, oh, that's cool. Somebody's doing something different finally after 3,000 years. We'll change it up, and I'll start making a business out of it. I'm not able to do that. That's called Bal Tosif, adding to the mitzvot. So the Torah tells us these are the holidays that you keep. All of a sudden, the rabbis come along, and they say, we're going to add new holidays. How could they do that? Bal Tosif. Says Rav Kook, Shalikbu Chachamim Divrim Kishal Torah. What it means is that the rabbis are not allowed to establish the holidays in the same way that they're written in the Torah. So we keep these interesting new holidays, Chanukah and Purim, but we celebrate them differently than we celebrate the holidays from the Torah. Somebody give me one example, major difference between Chanukah and Purim and the holidays from the Torah, generally, yeah? Very good. There's no Isur Melacha. That's the main difference between the rabbinic holidays and the Torah holidays. So says Rav Kook, Mitoch kach ra'u chachamim lasod heker b'mitzvah b'divrehem. The rabbis wanted us to realize that this holiday is not a holiday from the Torah. So they created certain differences in the rabbinic holidays that they were putting into our Jewish calendar that are different. She'inenu min ha'Torah, she'nikar, she'inenu mi'Torah. We shouldn't think that they're trying to add to what's already written in the Torah. Fourth line. B'zeh she'mitzvot ha'Torah matzino havdel v'chiluk mekomot. What do we find? As I said at the beginning, we don't find that with any other holiday, that when it comes to Rosh Hashanah, that a Jew living in Toronto is going to keep Rosh Hashanah differently than a Jew living in New York. A Jew living in Chicago is going to keep Rosh Hashanah different than a Jew living in England or in Yerushalayim. We don't have that. Everybody keeps the holiday on the same day. But when it comes to Purim, the rabbi said, we're going to establish that the holiday will be kept differently by people who live in different cities. Why did they do that, says Rav Kook? So that we would understand and realize that this is not a regular Torah holiday. They wanted to put in these, build in these differences, so we would appreciate that this is from the Rabbanan, from the rabbis, and not from the Torah. V'zeh sh'mitzvot ha'Torah matzino havdel v'chiluk mekomot, rak mishpat echad yelechem mishpat ha'shaveh l'kulchem. V'kan sh'nireh kein osafa divrei Torah. Here, when it looks like they're adding it to the Torah, this is how the rabbis were able to add a holiday onto the Torah to give us a new holiday called Purim. And the reason they were allowed to do it, and it's not like I'm adding a string onto my tzitzit, it's not a violation of Bal Tosif, because they make the holiday like wherever you are, you're going to celebrate it, you know, according to your city. That's not a standard Jewish holiday. A standard Jewish holiday is everybody keeps it on the same day. If everybody's keeping it on different days, it's already doesn't look like, you know, a Torah type of holiday. Because a Torah type of holiday, it's going to be the same wherever you are. Beautiful. Comes Rav Kook and he says we can apply the same logic to Chanukah as well. What do we find interesting by Chanukah? Chanukah is similar to a Torah holiday in that it's celebrated by everybody on the same 8 days, 8 nights of the year. We start the holiday wherever you are in the world. We're lighting the first Chanukah candle. Okay, in Israel they're lighting it 7 hours ahead of us, but it's on the same date in the Hebrew calendar. Right? That doesn't change. So everybody's celebrating Chanukah on the same day of the year, but guess what? The rabbis told us that there are three different ways that you can actually fulfill the mitzvah of lighting Chanukah candles. You all learned this in your classes. Ner Yishu Beito, which means you can have one candle, you can have 30 people living in your house, you can have one candle for everybody in the house, each night of Chanukah, one candle, and you fulfill the mitzvah of Hadlakat Ner Chanukah. Or you have another way to fulfill the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah. You can light Mehadrin. What's Mehadrin? Ner Lakol Echad Ve'Echad, which is one candle per person in the house. So if you have 30 people in the house, 30 candles on the first night. What happens on the second night? 30 candles on the second night. What happens on the third night? 30 candles on the third night. That's the second level. And guess what? Did you fulfill the mitzvah of Hadlakat Ner Chanukah? You sure did. There's one more level called Mehadrin Min HaMehadrin. What's Min HaMehadrin? Min HaMehadrin? This is the most beautiful way to fulfill the mitzvah of Chanukah, which is Ner Lakol Echad Ve'Echad. But Beit Hillel Omrim Mosif V'Holeich, Beit Shammai Omrim Pochet V'Holeich, which means day one, according to Beit Hillel, we light one. Day two, we light two. Day three, we light four. We light three. So on and so forth. Beit Shammai says we start at eight and we go down. It's 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. So, I have three houses on my street. The first house is lighting one candle for all 10 people living in the house. The next house is lighting 10 candles for all 10 people living in the house. The next house is lighting 10 on the first night, 20 on the second night, 30 on the third night, so on and so forth. Did they all fulfill the mitzvah of lighting Chanukah candles? So when I'm looking at all three houses, I see something totally different. Three different Jewish homes, all keeping Chanukah, but they're all keeping it differently. And guess what? They all fulfilled the mitzvah of lighting Chanukah candles. Comes Rav Kook and says, why would the rabbis tell us three different ways to fulfill the mitzvah of lighting Chanukah? Just give us one way. Now, in practice, I would imagine that everybody here in the room is probably following Mehadrim in a Mehadrim. What's a wax candle today? Some oil. You go out, you get that pre-filled stuff. It costs you $20 and you're done. Easy. You put it in the thing, you light the candle, and you're good. First night one, second night two, second night third, night three, so on and so forth. But in its essence, the rabbis actually told us that you could fulfill the mitzvah in three legitimate different ways. Why would they say that? The whole purpose of Jewish holidays is what? As we said, all the Jews should celebrate the holidays together in the same way. You go to shul, you hear the shofar. How many people here listen to a trumpet on shofar on Rosh Hashanah? Nobody. We all listen to a shofar. We all celebrate the holiday in the same way. But on Chanukah, the rabbi said, pick your choice. Whichever way you want to celebrate the holiday, it's up to you. Why did he do that? Because they didn't want us to think that we're making a brand new holiday that was never written in the Torah and we're adding it onto the Torah. So in order for us to realize that this is not Bal Tosif, this is not adding to the mitzvah of the Torah, to the holidays of the Torah, the rabbis gave us a reminder that you keep the holiday, but you know what? I'll give you a few options of how you can do it. So that's what he says in this first paragraph. And you're in Etvarim, in the second paragraph, now Shan Shek Nesel Gedol Ra'u, Shemeit Hashem Haitazot, Shlot Tiyah Bezeh Chukah Achat Omelo Shel Torah, B'ma Shela B'yadam Lachar Yom Tov D'Shushan, U'mimela Ra'u, Shein Maspik L'chalek Rak Shushan Mishar Ayarot, Dimkei Meshach Hazman, אם לא ידעו יישואים בשושן, יזוות על העקר, ויהן נראה כאוספר על דבר תורה, על כן ראו לחלק שכל מקומות הדומים לשושן יהיה ביום תפה. Come the rabbis and they say, you know what? where did the Jews actually celebrate Purim on the 15th day in the time of the Megillah? In the city of Shushan. If there were Jews living anywhere else, so let's say, I don't know how many Jews were living in Shushan, let's say there were 100,000 Jews living there, whatever the number is. So 100,000 Jews that were living in Shushan kept Purim on 15th. And the other 20 million Jews, I don't know how many were around, 10 million, 5 million, whatever the number was, they kept Purim on the day before. So they said, we're going to make a rule. The rabbis made a decision at that time that in order for people not to make a mistake and think that we're adding a new holiday into the Torah where the Torah was already decided, Hashem decided what the Torah holidays are, we're going to celebrate, tell the Jewish people to celebrate the day, the Yom Tov of Purim on different days. Okay. Then he gets to this question about why Yoshua bin Nun. You turn to the back side. Actually, he says it at the bottom, the first side. Okay, look at the back side of that first page. And this is from this piece is from a sefer called Mo'adei Ariya. It's a collection of writings that Rav Kook had on the holidays, the Mo'adim. And here he brings a quote from Mitzvot Ariya. V'zeh she'amru b'Yerushalmi, Yerushalmi, the Talmud Yerushalmi says, "Achalek kavod le'Eretz Yisrael," to give kavod to Eretz Yisrael. De'be'emet b'chutz la'aretz ein chiluk klal b'shum din. Let's say you lived in a city in, I don't know, I've never been to China, but I know that there's a wall in China. I don't know if the wall goes around the city. Maybe it does, maybe it doesn't. Someone could confirm for me. Does it go around? Goes around the whole country? Okay. Let's leave China aside for a minute. Let's assume you live somewhere that's not in Israel, that's surrounded by a wall from the time of Yehoshua. You will not be keeping Purim on the 15th if you live in a walled city that's outside of Israel. This rule is only applying to Eretz Yisrael. Why? The Yerushalmi says, L'chalok kavod l'Eretz Yisrael. Because if you live in Chutz Laaretz, everybody's keeping Purim on Yudalit, this Thursday, everybody outside of Israel. If you live in Israel, there's a separate thing where, depending where you live, it changes. What's the reason? Since Eretz Yisrael is the place where we're all supposed to be, it's the ideal location for Am Yisrael. So the ideal way that the Torah is meant to be kept is going to be in Eretz Yisrael. Explains Rav Kook, Bikar Sfra Kahana Mesayea Kahena, Bichudushe Mar'e Kohen Lagon Rabetzal Kohen Meshas Vilna, and he brings like this, Av Shematzu Smacham in the second paragraph, L'mikra Megillah, Lo Siva Divrei Torah, Mishim Dojoshu, Kavachom Yukom Akom, Lo Ratzu Lo Sum Mitzvah Zo Ke'en Shal Torah Mamash, Shitra Torah Achat, Mishpat Achat L'Kol Yisuv, Agon Achilku Mitzvot Zo L'Zmanim Chalukim. Okay, I want to get to the third paragraph there. And here he explains, like Tamar mentioned before, Mavar HaRav Uzi Keltzheim, who, this is not Rav Kook, I think this is already Rav Neria, who wrote the Sefer, so he's commenting on the writing. He says, there's a pitgam, based on the Yerushalmi, a pitgam is like a motto or a saying for the month of Adar. And the pitgam goes as follows: Mipnei ma talu zot bimei Yoshua bin Nun. The Yerushalmi says, why do we keep the day of Purim in the walled cities according to Yoshua bin Nun? So, like you said, so you were basically saying what the Yerushalmi says: Chalku kavod l'Eretz Yisrael, because it was Yoshua who conquered the land of Israel or began the process at the very least. So we give him honor by saying that all the Jews who lived, who lived in cities that had walls at that time, even if they no longer have walls today, are going to keep Purim a day later. And everybody else who's outside of Israel, it's supposed to be a little bit of a reminder to the Jews who are not living in Israel that they could have that opportunity if they were to daven and come to Eretz Israel. Okay, I want to change gears and speak about a different topic. You can turn to the next page where it says, Ad Delo Yada. This is a quote from a Gemara. Yeah, this is a quote from a Gemara in Masechet Megillah, which speaks about the level of where a person is supposed to get to on Purim. Okay? And this is from writings of Rav Kook in a different book called Ma'amarei Ariya. So here he's almost writing what I would call a personal, very personal, emotional feeling about what he thinks Purim is supposed to be about. It's a very powerful piece. We'll try to read as much as we can from it. I only want to go a few more minutes to let everybody go, but we'll try to get the main idea. So here's what he says. It's the third page, and it begins with the words, Bimei HaPurim HaEla. I'm not entirely sure when he wrote this. We know that Rav Kook lived and was writing in Eretz Yisrael, came to Israel just in the early 1900s, and he lived until 1935. Many different things happened in history. The first few lines is describing clearly something troubling that was going on at that time. Maybe it was the World War, which he went through, and he had certain experiences. Unclear exactly what, but he's referencing something difficult that was going on at that time. And he writes like this, Bimei HaPurim Ma'ela, B'sha'ot kashot halalu, difficult hours, sheyisurim mekifim u'mimalim et kol Yisrael, hagoy kulot tzarot rabot mibachutz. We have a lot of crises, we have a lot of challenges, we have a lot of problems. V'yoter gdola hi atzara mibnei atzarot apnimiyot shelanu. He says, but greater than the challenges that we face that are outside of us are the challenges that we face that are inside, that are internal. And he writes like this in the third line, Mipnei shenishbat shalom abayit etzlenu shalom Beit Yisrael. We have an issue. We have a problem. Something that's going on inside the core of the Jewish people. Nizkar na et yamim alalu me'orotayem kamo shem ktuvim lefanei b'mgilat Esther sheberuach ha'kodesh ne'emra. Let's pay attention to the words of the Megillah, which can shed light on what we're going through right now. The Ruach HaKodesh Omer Hu Mimal L'Kol Chalifot Ha'itim Mimal L'Shalakol Shinuyi Shinitach Zisim Shal Adorot. What he's saying here is that if you look into the texts of our people, of our history, we can understand the solutions and the messages for our day and age, in every passing generation. V'ha'amra ha'nitzchit v'ha'imra ha'nitzchit Shalech Kenoset Kol Yehudim. This is so beautiful. Listen to this. Listen to this idea that he says. Who is the one who said, Lekanos Kol Yudin? That was Esther, right? Right after Mordechai gave her a little bit of a Musar Shmuz and said, what are you doing sitting up there in your palace? The Jewish people are about to be destroyed. And she said, I don't know. I can go in. I don't know if I can go in. I wasn't invited to the king. We all know the story. And Mordechai says to her, Esther, okay, it's up to you. You want to make a decision, you want to save the Jewish people, you want to become famous, that's your time. You don't want to become famous, God will figure out another way. Revach ha-hatzalah yamod li-yodim ha-makom acher. Salvation will come from somewhere else. So Esther says, okay, send a message. Lech kenosu kol yodim. Look at the words of Rav Kook, seventh line. Hi muchracha lachiyod otanu od hapam. Gather the people together. That is our secret. The secret of the Jewish people is our unity, is our togetherness. And that will rise us above all of the darkness and the lowness that we're in. Of course, somebody's going to ask the obvious question. Even somebody who doesn't know how to ask is going to ask the obvious question. Could that really happen? all the Jews together, get along together. You're going to put all the Jews in one place from Mizgeret Achad Kulam. All the differences, the hashkafas, this one daven's initial, and this one daven's natural, and Sfardim and Ashkenazim, and seven different tunes for Parshat Zachor. Some of you may have been a shul like that. And we have so many differences, religious and not religious, and within religious there's this color and that color and this type of hat and that type of hat and this type of tzitzit and that type of tefillin.
Seven tunes? In one shul?
Maybe. How could all of the scattered bones, this is a reference to the Nevuah of Yechezkel, the scattered bones of the Jewish people that are all throughout the Galut, how are they going to HaGalut HaChomri VaGalut HaRuchanit, the spiritual, the physical exile that we're in, Likarev Echad Al Echad, how are we going to figure out a way to combine it all and bind us together? Is there such a thing, Lech Kenosa Kol Yudim, that all the Jewish people could really come together as one? He's like wondering, what is Esther talking about in the Megillah? Go and gather all the Jews together to be one. Well, how could there be such a concept? Guess what, everybody? There's one place, says Rav Kook, that with all of our scatteredness, with all of our differences, with all of our varying colors, physical and spiritual, physical meaning where we live and where we are and what we know, spiritual being the way we practice our Judaism. We see Jews, we have enough enemies outside and we don't know how to get along one to the other. Turning on each other like wolves and snakes. See, here comes the kicker. Amazing line. Omnam, look at the bottom of that page. Kol ha'omer shesheker bada Haman rasha be'amro. Remember what Haman said? Remember what Haman said? He came to the king and he said, Yeshno, amechad, mefuzar, meforad. There is one nation. What do you mean one nation? This is a contradiction of terms. They're one nation, but they're scattered and they're spread out. How could you be one nation and be scattered and spread out? Eicha choliot. Eino elo to'eh. A person who thinks that that's a lie, be'emet mefuzar meforad hu ha'am echad. Yes, it's true. We're spread out. We're in different places. Aval bechol zeh, am echad hu. That's powerful stuff. You know what Haman knew about us? We might not all daven in the same shul. We might not eat in each other's homes because we don't trust the kashrut of the other one. We might not daven in the same from the same sidur. But guess what? Haman knew something. Sometimes we have to learn from our enemies. Sometimes our enemies teach us what it is to be the Jew, to be a Jewish person. He said, you might live in Toronto. Another Jew lives there. Another Jew lives in that country, in that continent. But guess what? Yeshno am echad. They're one people. I don't care where they live. I don't care how they practice their religion. They're all one in my eyes. That's what Haman said. And he said, I don't care. You're religious, you're not religious. I'm going to kill you all. So then what do? We look at each other and we say, now we're all in the same boat. We might daven from different sidurim, but we're all in the same boat. We're all am echad. How could you have two opposites in one? Can't be. Al titmal achevetz. Don't be so surprised, says Rav Kook. Yishnam pilaim ba'olam. There are a lot of surprises in our world. There are a lot of things that could shock us. Va'am azesh kol midato ba'olam rufedet hi bepilei plaot hu mar'eh ba'aviato gam kein et apela hazeh. That is what's amazing about the Jewish people, that we could all be so different and have such different opinions. And I can teach a class of 22 students in grade 9, and each one understands me'ematai korin et shema ba'aravi differently than the other person in the room. That's mifuzar mifurad in one room, 22 different opinions. But it's am echad. It's one people learning one Torah. Ma'otah atzmit harei hu am echad lamrot mashu mifuzar mifurad. Emet davar shemachalatenu agdola machalat galut. You know what happens to the Jewish people in galut? Shebefol nishkei aleinu milov tzafah mechalat galut shebekoach asher al yada the backside baaleinu katastrophia galutit. That's what happens. We think that we're actually separate. We forget that we're still Am Echad, no matter where we are. I'm not going to read the rest of the piece. But the lesson of Purim in this concept, the person who hated us the most knew about our secret. And that's what he came to Achashverosh with. He said, guess what? That Jew, he thinks he can hide. He thinks he is going to take off their religious garb, go be part of the world, go be part of regular society. I have the records. I know where they live. I know maybe they don't go to shul, maybe they're not so religious. But they're Am Echad. They're all part of one people. And that was his argument. Achashverosh bought it. And he said, go for it. They're all yours. So what did Esther say? Lech kenos et kol ha-Yehudim. Figure out a way to put all of your differences aside. Because if someone could hate so much, someone could love so much. If our greatest enemies could hate us to that level that they want to destroy us completely. Lech kenos et kol ha-Yehudim. What a strong message going into Purim. To put aside all the differences and to appreciate the fact that if that could be true, someone could be so filled with hate. How much love we could be filled with. I wish everybody a meaningful and easy fast, a Purim Sameach, and we should be zocha to the bracha of la Yehudim, Aitah, Rav, Simcha, V'Sasam, V'Yikar, Kein, Tiyeh, Lanu, Amen.